Hi, this is Rachel McElroy.
Hi, this is Griffin McElroy.
And this is wonderful.
I just ran up the stairs. This is...
You got so many splats?
I just got so many splats just running up the stairs. And this is wonderful, a show where we talk about things we like that is good, that we're into, and I'm really out of breath. I'm genuinely pretty tuckered.
Yeah.
Out.
Do you want me to start with
Yeah, just
my
throw it on your back.
Small this- wonder?
I mean, yeah, I would love to get it just a running start into this bad boy.
It's my birthday.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Say, uh-oh.
Uh-oh. Whoops. Just kidding.
No, it is very easy, I think, to remember my birthday because now it is the day before Little Son's.
How wooed of him, by the way, to do that. I mean, it was...
We did know.
It was a scheduled sort of arrival. So yeah. there was a, I don't know, a lack of... Not foresight. It's just how things turned out, man.
It's just how things worked out.
Life finds a way sometimes.
When we made love for the upcoming son.
For the second time.
Anyway, I'm happy to be celebrating today. You know, one more year on this big earth of ours.
This big,
you know,
wonderful world.
Just lucky to be here.
Sure. I'm happy to have you. It's genuinely great that you were born.
Thank you.
Fantastic.
What's your small wonder?
Stardew Valley 1.6, that new update came out. It's been very fun dipping back in. I haven't played it in a while.
I made the mistake of watching your stream with Travis as my introduction.
Don't do that. No, yeah.
And it was very difficult to tell if any of it was actually new.
No, very little of it was. Travis and I did a stream for the Max Fun Drive, which, by the way, thank you all
thank you guys. It was incredible,
Incredible, yes. We did a stream showing off Stardew Valley. You said it was 1.6, but really... Travis had downloaded like 50 mods and the game was unrecognizable. There were Pokemon everywhere. It was silly. But I've been playing a more vanilla 1.6 Stardew experience, and it's cool. There's not like there's like some new festivals and like stuff that is like obviously like, whoa, that's big and new. But for the most part, it's just like little stuff here and there. Like I was playing last night and I woke up one morning and it was green. Everything was there's like a green fog everywhere, and you go outside and it's raining green rain. And it's causing like wild overgrowth everywhere. And like, I don't know, I've played Stardew Valley so much that something like that is so like such a seismic sort of like shift. And so it's exciting. I love that game so much. It is very cool to dive back in and see all this new stuff. I go first this week. I'm going to talk about parrots. I feel like I personally have come a long way on this subject because I have never been like a huge bird guy.
Yeah. I mean, let's face it. There are a lot of birds out there that aren't great.
Okay. Wow. I wouldn't go that far.
I mean, I would also say there's a lot of people out there that aren't great. So I'm not necessarily...
So just a lot of sentient beings
that I don't enjoy personally.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Since I have become sort of more of an active user of like Instagram and TikTok, now that
I thought you were gonna say of parrots.
Now that I've become a more active parrot user, now that I use, how does one use a parrot?
I mean,
for hunting, like a falcon, you send
it
off.
Yeah, if you're going to a Margaritaville restaurant.
Yes.
You could use a parrot to
parrots
get in.
Parrots eat free at Margaritaville restaurants. Not a lot of people know that. I have been getting a lot more pet bird content on these video-based social media channels.
Okay.
And it has really turned me around on these little guys. I think they're just spectacular. It is kind of a touchy subject because parrots in particular have been hunted to the point of putting a lot of species of parrots on the endangered species list, mostly hunted for like breeding and sale and it is a real issue because they are also one of the most abandoned pets because a lot of people get them expecting a fucking Furby and what they actually get is a temperamental pretty big bird with a pretty big ass sharp beak
and sometimes very loud.
Always, I will say this, always very loud. Even the good ones are extremely, extremely loud. So there's a lot of parrot and other sort of like pet bird rescue organizations that take a lot of like these abandoned birds in, and a lot of the like, you know, social media channels I feel like that I have seen usually work with those organizations. Taking care of a parrot is, from what I have gathered, like really, really hard work. And like most of the ones who are born and raised in captivity, like can't take care of themselves, you know, out in the wild. And so, you know, they have their work cut out for them. But parrots, I will say, objectively, all that aside, kind of rule. They look amazing. I feel like you forget about
that.
You see a parrot like IRL. And it's like, whoa, like there's so many colors sometimes. The classic red and blue and white. I don't know what that is. A macaw with like little, maybe there's some green or orange mixed in there. Just a kaleidoscope of feathers and colors.
Yeah.
It's always very, very exciting. I love seeing a colorful bird. And that's all I have to say about that. But man, when they talk and they sound like just a creaky old human being.
Yeah.
It's magnifique.
Yeah.
It's remarkable every time. Most parrot species can mimic talking, but there's a handful of them that seem to do it like a lot. One of the parrots that I feel like I've seen the most on Instagram is named Gizmo. Gizmo the gray bird. He is an African gray parrot, which is a species that is one of a handful that is a real fucking chatterbox. and that is Gizmo to a T. I'm going to play a clip of some of Gizmo talking just so people can get a vibe for like what this bird's whole deal is.
Let the birds out.
I let the birds out. Come on.
You want a pistachio? No.
Yeah.
I'm Gizmo. Peek-a-boo.
I see you.
Peek-a-boo.
I see you.
Give us a kiss.
Come on.
Goodbye.
See ya.
Aw, oh, damn it.
Sorry.
I'm a bird. I don't care.
What you doing?
Are you just water all over your travel box?
Want a pistachio?
Need a minute.
I only had a chance to show you a little bit of Gizmo before we started recording. I will send you some more Gizmo videos after this.
Please.
Because he says a lot of stuff, and it's really, really very, very good every time. Watching videos like this of Gizmo the gray bird and other similar parrots, I cannot help but wonder if parrots are getting better at talking, or if I just like didn't know that they could do it as good as...
Well, I mean, if you think about when we grew up, it wasn't like you could watch videos of parrots all the time.
That's a really good point, babe.
So maybe now it's just better access to the parrots that have always been there.
Yeah. I remember there's like an old YouTube video from like 14 years ago of a cockatiel, you know, singing or whistling Final Fantasy music. And yeah. I remember being like, wow, that's so cool. I don't want one.
Yeah,
I would never, I would not, you would have to, the amount of time you have to dedicate to taking care of a bird like that is so far outside of the scope of what is I'm capable in my life.
Yeah.
And also, I think it's kind of tragic. I have engineered a whole career that is pretty strictly anti-loud bird in my house.
Yes, true.
Can't have it, which is heartbreaking. So parents are just don't understand, but parrots are able to use human speech in correct ways sometimes, like in context, able to respond to a question or some sort of external stimuli correctly, but not always, right? It is a very sort of like loose contextual association that birds are able to make, right?
Yeah.
And so a lot of birds are, Gizmo does a really good thing where he simulates the sound of water like pouring to tell he wants water, right? Because that's like an easy association for a bird of like, well, when I make this sound, the water can happen. Or when a parrot sees its owner, they will, you know, sometimes say like, rah, rah, like if they are trained to say that word, then they have this association of like, that's what I say when the person enters.
Or when I sing Who Let the Dogs Out, the party gets started.
When I sing Who Let the Birds Out, chirp, 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 chirp. Yeah, that means that it's time to fucking
party.
Oh,
was he saying birds?
Yeah, Who Let the Birds Out.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, it's really nice.
Incredible.
It's wild to me that they are able to kind of like associate this stuff and then say human speech to like get the thing they want or respond in some way to something they see or hear. In my mind, it's kind of better when they don't get it right. like, it's kind of better when they just sort of just do some free association, just word jazz. Gizmo, in particular, I saw a lot of clips where someone would ask him a question and he'd just respond with, "Want a pistachio?" Like, this bird loves pistachios so much. And it's really good when he's like, "Hello." And they're like, "Hello. Like, how's your day? Want a pistachio?" Hits so right every single time. So I was curious, like, why does this happen? How does this happen? Why do they talk? How is it possible?
And then you found out nobody knows, and that's the end of this segment.
Kind of. I mean, so like, birds in the wild communicate through vocal, you know, sounds, right? Like most birds do this who are vocal, because they, you know, a bird who is alone in the wild is not going to survive. They use speech to communicate when there is danger or predators about, or, you know, where food is, or to find a partner or whatever. So this is an excerpt from the National Audubon Society. Any bird that's a vocal learner has a part of the brain devoted to this called the song system. But in parrots, the song system has two layers, an inner core common to all avian vocal learners and an outer shell, which is unique to parrots. They think that this recently discovered shell is what allows parrots to be such expert mimickers, although they haven't figured out exactly how it works yet. So there's just like a different sort of physiology to parrot brains that allows them to like mimic human words as like expertly as they do. So when a parrot is in a home, like, it just kind of mimics human speech in an attempt to like fit in. Like, it is just trying to mesh with its mesh with its surroundings. And in the case of like a home where there are humans talking all the time, like, that's the sound they hear, and so that's what they are able to mimic. This Audubon Society article went on to say that parrots appear to be like particularly adept at picking up sort of associated speech around excitement and commotion. So if they see like something startling happen and hear a human sound, they will begin to like pick that up really, really fast.
That's why some parrots swear.
That's why most parrots who can mimic vocal speech and do it like a lot do cuss like sailors, including, I'm sorry to say, Gizmo the Great Bird.
Oh, no.
Gizmo the Great Bird has got a real potty beak. but yeah, that's really all I got to say about parrots. It is a touchy subject, right? Because it is like a type of animal that is endangered in the wild. And has this whole sort of like pet industry around it that has been not great, right? Because they will be marketed as like, you're going to love these guys and not like, these guys are loud and you need to really put a lot of effort into taking care of them.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of people who kind of like step up to do that. And sometimes they put up TikToks of their birds singing "Who Let the Dogs Out." And that's pretty good.
Yes.
Can I steal you away?
Yes.
We all got needs. And to satisfy those needs, we subscribe to different services to fulfill those needs. Some of them are pretty dang good at it, if I do say so myself. But then you put away your childish things. You say, I don't have a need for a string cheese subscription service.
I keep receiving this huge box of string cheese every month and immediately throwing it away.
Yeah.
Maybe I should not receive this huge box of string cheese every month.
But you forget, don't you? So easily.
I know.
Your many subscriptions you've scattered, like Johnny Appleseed to his apple seeds. Well, Rocket Money is here to help. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. I've used Rocket Money before, and it found, not a joke, maybe 6 things that I had completely forgotten about. Like, maybe about $50 a month worth of shit that I just completely did not know, nor did I interface with the things that I was subscribing to.
Yeah, it's like that. We got that one app that promised to show us hockey and then almost entirely stopped showing us hockey.
Yep. And Rocket Money was like, you're not watching the hockey anymore. The Blues lost and not in the playoffs. Anyway. Rocket Money is fantastic, and we recommend using it if you think you might have some of those phantom subs. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wonderful. That's rocketmoney.com/wonderful. One last time, rocketmoney.com/wonderful. Folks, I'm recording this ad by myself because Rachel, she did something totally wild. She hopped on her electric e-bike and she was like, I am out of here. And then she zoomed off. She hit a ramp and flew up in the sky like an E.T. movie and just went so fast that I was like, dang, where'd my wife even go? And she yelled from over the horizon on a bike adventure. And so I have to celebrate that. I have to cheer for her on that. This bike that Rachel got from Electric E-Bike, it is, one, very sleek and stylish. It looks fast because it is. The battery lasts forever. It shows up at your door, ships for free. It's got a quick toolless assembly, and you can even fold it up for easy travel and storage. It is the perfect time of year to have a sweet little bike for yourself to go on your own bike adventures away from your husband. Anyway, go full throttle into spring with Electric E-Bikes, the number one selling e-bikes in the nation. Get your adventure started at electricebikes.com, and please mention that Wonderful sent you in the post-checkout survey. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Thanks to everyone who contributed during this year's Max Fun Drive. We truly couldn't do what we do without you. With the drive in the rear view, it's time for another proud tradition, our annual charity pin sale. This year, the proceeds for the pin sale will support Vote Riders, a nonprofit dedicated to expanding ballot access nationwide. Members at $10 a month or more can purchase Max Fun Drive pins featuring shows from across the network, and all members are able to buy our network pin design, exclusive to this charity sale. The sale is live now, and it ends Friday, April 12th. For more info, head to MaximumFun.org/pinsale. And thanks again for your support.
From the Twisted Minds that brought you The Adventure Zone, Balance and Amnesty and Graduation and Ethersea and Steeplechase and Ultra Space and all the other ones, the McElroy brothers and dad are proud to reveal a bold vision for the future of actual play podcasting. It's
called The Adventure Zone versus Dracula.
Yeah, we're going to kill Dracula's
ass. We haven't recorded all of it yet. We will attempt to kill Dracula's ass.
The Adventure Zone versus Dracula.
Yes, a season I will be running using the D&D 5th edition rule set. And there's two episodes out for you to listen to right now. We hope you will join us. Same bat time, same bat channel.
I see what you did there.
What are you selling?
Who's this guy?
It's from Resident Evil. There's like a guy
who
sells stuff to you sometimes.
And he'll be like,
what are you selling?
He's pretty cool.
Yeah. So that really wasn't for me then, I guess, our listeners maybe who share your proclivities.
Yeah, sure. I guess so.
What I'm going to talk about, and I apologize in advance, it is food related and that may make you hungry. And I am sorry about that. I wanted to ask you though, because I don't think I know the answer to this. When you were a teen and you and your friends went to a eating establishment to just kind of hang out and be teens.
Yeah.
Where would you go?
Applebee's.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. Is that okay? I've talked about Applebee's before, so I hope that's not the heat you're about to bring.
Okay, No. Can you tell me it was just the place? Like, what was it?
We didn't have a lot. Like, there weren't a lot of restaurants in Huntington.
Evans wasn't open in the evening.
I mean, it was, but Bob Evans is a breakfast.
Not a cool place for teens.
No, not fucking even a little bit at all. I mean, Applebee's wasn't also.
But Applebee's had license plates on the wall.
but also like mad apps and zerts for like pretty cheap.
Very true.
So, yeah. So what were you thinking?
I'm going to talk about Steak and Shake.
Oh, shit. Yes. We didn't have a Steak and Shake until like a couple years before I left Huntington.
It's a Midwestern thing first and foremost, although now it has spread all around the world, actually. And there are actually more in other locations than there are in the Midwest now.
Okay.
Which I will get to. Before Steak and Shake was opened, it was a combination gas station / chicken restaurant owned by a person named Gus Belt and his wife, Edith.
Gus Belt?
I know. How great is that?
That's fucking good.
Gus would take care of the cars while Edith gave out the food. All you can eat fried chicken with fries and coleslaw was only 45 cents, and you could add a beer for 9 cents.
That's such a ridiculous price for a beer.
And also at a gas station.
A 9 cent beer.
Like, come in, get boozed up, and then go on your merry way in your vehicle.
For $1, you could drink a outrageous, a profoundly dangerous amount of beer.
I will say, though, this was very early on in American history, or at least modern American history, because Steak and Shake was born shortly after in 1934.
Holy shit.
Isn't that
really like Great Depression? Did we have like a lot of steaks and or shakes floating around during that era?
So what happened, the whole reason Steak and Shake came about was during Prohibition. You know, you couldn't get the beer at the gas station.
You couldn't get your 9 cent beer anymore.
So there were a lot of chicken joints in central Illinois, but there were not a lot of good hamburger stands. And so Gus shifted his model to the Steak and Shake with the hamburgers.
Okay. A wise choice.
So here's something I didn't know. Like, I should say, like, Steak and Shake, for me, that was like our go-to place.
That's so interesting.
Like post-football games, like if we didn't have anywhere to go, like that was the spot. If it was late at night, a lot of the Steak and Shakes were open till midnight or 24 hours.
That was
hours.
Your Alamo Freeze. Is that what it was
for
called?
Sure. In yeah.
Friday Night Lights?
Yeah. I mean, they also had Applebee's in Friday Night Lights.
That is true.
But yeah, and I mean, obviously hamburgers, shakes, good. The cheese fries.
The cheese fries.
All of this perfect teen food.
Their hamburgers are like squashed, right?
Yes,
they're like,
yes.
they're wafer thin and yeah, pretty crispy.
Yeah, they get real crispy because they're so skinny.
I love that shit.
Yeah.
And they have like the potato buns style, sort of like soft, chewy.
I don't even remember the buns.
I'm having
if I'm
a sense memory of Steak and Shake right now.
Steak and Shake slogan used to be, and may still be in some places, in sight, it must be right.
In sight, it must be right?
Yes.
What's
so
that mean?
What Gus used to do to make very clear that these were in fact steak burgers is he would wheel in a barrel of assorted steaks and start grinding them in-house just on display.
Now, that's interesting.
So just imagine a man coming in with a barrel full of meats.
Yeah.
And just setting up shot and just showing you like, hey, this is what you're about to eat. This,
yeah.
This barrel of meat.
This is Gus Belt's beef barrel. And I'm about to grind it up. That would not be good for me. I don't think I would like that very much.
Yes.
I think ground meat is some of the gnarliest looking stuff ever until you cook it. And then it becomes amazing for me, for my senses.
I will also say part of the motto suggested a kind of way to make customers certain that the food they were getting was being handled safely.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've noticed, but a lot of Steak and Shakes I've been to, and maybe all of them, have like the open kitchen.
Yeah.
You can like see in there while they're cooking. That was apparently pretty brand new.
I guess in the 1940s or whatever, that kind of quality control was more important than it is maybe now when there's a lot of sort of oversight into many parts
yes.
of the process.
Well, yeah, and that's the suggestion in this. It was like a Mental Floss article I was reading was saying like before there were uniform health codes,
right?
They were pretty much low quality, like the hamburgers you would get.
Yeah.
And so this was kind of ahead of its time in some way.
Yeah.
And I will say that this, so there was a book written by a Steak and Shake CEO called Selling Steak Burgers that suggested that Gus Belt used to go through the restaurant's trash and return plates to see what the customers weren't eating. And he would use this to further hone the menu.
I mean,
like people aren't eating this coleslaw, Edith. We should probably take it out of the menu.
I mean, no one eats coleslaw.
I think people eat coleslaw, but not by choice.
No.
So Gus Belt died in 1954. He left Edith to run the company until 1969 when she sold her steak in the restaurant, which by then numbered 51 locations for a cool $17 million. So way to go, Edith.
That's pretty good for 1969
money. Yeah. So Steak and Shake, There are some places that don't have them. I don't know if this place, this website I'm looking at is up to date, but Maryland, Oregon, Arizona, Wyoming, Guam, American Samoa, New Jersey, Washington State, Wisconsin, and New York.
Okay.
As of this thing I'm looking at, did not have Steak and Shakes. Washington, D.C. does have one Steak and Shake. Steak and Shake.
Where?
It is in the Rayburn House office building.
Yeah.
Which is where 169 House representatives office. So it is in that building.
That sucks. They get everything. I know. They get everything and we get nothing.
And it just opened in 2019.
Okay.
And there's also one in like Fairfax, Virginia, but they aren't very popular around here. Do you know what state has the largest number of Steak and Shakes?
I'm going to guess Missouri.
No.
Oh, okay. No, then.
No, Missouri is actually fifth on the list. The number one location is Florida.
Okay, yes.
Yeah. And then Illinois, where it started, Indiana, Ohio, Missouri. Yeah.
There is a saying in our house, which we would use when Dad would get like way too focused on a thing. I think you've heard me talk about it before, where we would say like, Dad's on the case.
Yeah.
And if you said Dad's on the case, it meant like, don't like, just let him do his, let him accomplish his mission.
Yes.
And this originated from a vacation we had where we were in Florida once and Mom really wanted to go to Steak and Shake because Mom fucking loved Steak and Shake. Mom loved milkshakes so much. Yeah. And so Dad was like, I'm going to make this dream come true for my wife and kids. And I'm going to be impossible to be around in this automobile until we get there.
Did you get there?
I don't even remember, babe. I don't even remember.
That's a really good lesson that he was like, I'm going to make a wonderful memory. And then like, now it you don't even remember.
He was usually pretty good about not doing stuff like that. But this was like pre-MapQuest. So it was just like, you know, stopping on street corners and being like, hey, do you know, have you heard legend of the Steak and Shake here in Vero Beach?
Just smelling the wind.
Smelling the wind for steak smells.
I will say one other St. Louis teen that really enjoyed Steak and Shake was Shake Shack founder Danny Meyer, who told the New York Times that he was inspired by Steak and Shake.
Yeah.
I will also say that there is a Steak and Shake in Springfield, Missouri that is in the National Register of Historic Places.
Cool.
It is still there and it's still in the style of the early 60s and has curb service window and a bright neon sign.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think everybody has one of these places like growing up. That's why I asked you about yours. Like where the teens would go.
We had a Frisch's Big Boy, which was...
Whoa. Similar.
You know Frisch's Big Boy?
I mean, I've heard of it.
That's great. Yeah. It's like a Steak and Shake, but there was a huge plaster man standing outside, which I always enjoyed.
One thing, I'll just finish off by saying one thing I didn't know about when I was researching this. Apparently, maybe almost a decade ago now, they entered a 7x7 burger into their menu, which was 7 patties and sold for $7.77. And it was 1,330 calories.
Cool.
So
I mean, sure. Really wanted a steak burger until you said that last part. And now I'm actually pretty good.
There you go. Now you're
I'm glad you did that. I was like, damn, I wanted some like Shake Shack or something for lunch today. But we're doing a pizza party stream for the Max Fun Drive today. And so that dream will have to wait. But man, yeah, no, I do want to eat some steak and shake pretty bad. Let's go down to where our congressional
hours and they close at like 3:30 in the afternoon.
Sure. I mean, that's when everyone stops working in that neck of the woods. Hey, here's what our friends at home are talking about. Eileen says, I'm the oldest of a group of about 20 cousins. Lately, the babiest of the cousins have been reaching major life milestones like getting married and having kids. It warms my heart remembering them being so little and now being whole ass grownups. I love this too.
Yeah.
I have some younger cousins, and when they started to have kids, it was like pretty buck wild to me. Stephanie says, one of my small wonders is when the bread, cheese, and turkey all run out at the same time. The last two slices of cheese meet the last few slices of meat, meet the last two slices of bread. It doesn't always work out, but when it does, magical symmetry.
I love that.
Me too. I hate when you finish up like two of those things and one's only halfway through and you know you're not going to be able to sync that up, sync up those grocery purchases again anytime soon. I love that. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you to Bowen and Augustus for the use of our theme song, Money Won't Pay. You can find a link to that in the episode description.
Thank you to everybody who was able to donate or spread the word about Max Fun Drive.
Yes.
It was a very great time for us.
Yes, we are humbled and honored, and we will do our best to keep making the stuff that you like and making it better. And that's going to do it for... I believe it's April now. When you hear this. So there will be new merch up in the McElroy merch store. It's McElroyMerch.com. So go check that out too. And we got some live shows coming up. If you're in Chicago, going to be around during C2E2, we're doing Mabim Bam and Taz up there later this month. So all that's over at McElroy.family. Go check it out. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you.
So long. Farewell. Auf Wiedersehen. Goodbye.
Maximum Fun,
a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows,
supported
directly
by you.